Amen. What great truth of that song tonight. Amen. Look in your Bibles to the book of the Revelation tonight. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 21 tonight. And again, thank you for being in your place on this Sunday night. And I appreciate the good word of God. I know tonight the Lord has got something for us to help us as we go along this Christian journey. Revelation chapter 21, you're willing and able to stand tonight. And we'll read just the first two verses for the sake of time. I look at a lot of the verses in this chapter, 27 verses total. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read just verse 1 and 2. We'll pray and then we'll get to our thought that the Lord's laid upon our heart tonight. The book of Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight one more time to gather in your house. Lord, I thank you for the reading of the word of God. I pray now for a little while you'll strengthen my voice and my body. Enable me to preach the word of God tonight as you'd have me to. I pray give us all hearing ears and receptive hearts. I pray for that that's lost here tonight. Lord, on this Sunday night, without a doubt, someone here on the Broadway headed to an eternal burning lake of fire. But oh, what a joy it'd be to see them walking out, fall an old-fashioned altar. I repent and be saved. Lord, do that tonight. I pray only you can. Help us as your people. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, knowing at any moment Jesus could come and take us out of this world. Help us, I pray, to bring you glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse number 2 tonight, where the Bible says, "And I, John, saw the holy city at New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Then look down at verse number 10. Bible said, "And he carried me away in the spirit out to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." I'm going to preach tonight, the Lord helping me, just a few minutes on this subject of the home of the redeemed. The home of the redeemed. Now, I noticed in the last several years as I have traveled and preached, and it seemed like in our day that a lot of folk that are saved don't get excited about heaven when you sing about it or preach about it or testify about it. But I want to remind you that is our eternal home. This new Jerusalem that we've read about tonight, this is the home of the redeemed. Now, if you're not saved, you'll never step foot inside that great city. But you and I who are saved are guaranteed that we one day will walk and live in this holy new Jerusalem. I think, as a matter of fact, it has come back to my mind. A dear old mountain preacher friend of mine, he's been in heaven for a number of years now, but I've heard him as he's preached many times make this statement: "I stamped upon my soul, it's New Jerusalem bound." And ladies and gentlemen, that is the case for all of us who are saved. Now, when you talk about heaven, let me say this: there is not a lot said about heaven in the Bible, but our home is described. This New Jerusalem is the place where we that are saved will reside forever and ever. Now, I got looking about four things in this chapter that I want us to notice tonight, and I'll let you go. Now, the reason some folk no longer get excited about heaven, let me just say this as a side note, it's because they got so much down here. Amen. Most of us was raised poor. I'd say that most of us up a certain age probably didn't have a whole lot. I know what an outhouse is. Amen. I know the difference in a slop jar and a slop bucket. Amen. Hey, there's a big difference. If you don't know, there is. I didn't have a lot growing. Didn't even know I was poor. I was grown. I thought we was middle class because we ate and we was clothed and we was happy at home. I thought, boy, this is great. I knew others that had a whole lot less than I did. I thought, man, we got made. Found out later I wasn't even qualified for middle class. Amen. Still ain't according to how much money you're supposed to make. But I'll tell you this, I'm headed to the city whose builder and maker's God tonight. Hey, I'm excited about going. Now, I admit, I want to go on the main load. Amen. If I have chest pains, call 911. I like living. But I am looking forward to finally getting to this place that we read about here in John chapter 21. When I was a boy, there's one of our deacons, and he's been in heaven a good while now too. You'd get in a good service and the glory would fall. I've watched him sit over there and weep and worship. But every now and then God touched his heart and he'd read this chapter. He'd just stand up and go to read it. Man, he is excited about it. And it excited the rest of us. Amen. Hey, this is the place that you and I who are saved are really going to live in. Amen. I'm more excited about that home than I am the earthly home. For I am a pilgrim and a stranger, a passing through, until we get to this good land, this good place that we've read about tonight. Now, there's four things about the home redeemed I want to stress to you tonight. First of all, there's some missing things that we find in Revelation chapter 21. We find that in verse 1 of this chapter. First of all, there is no more sea. That's what the Bible said. He said the first heaven and earth, they passed away. And he said, and there was no more sea. Somebody said, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, the sea speaks of separation. There is the waters around the world keep the continents separated in some time. I keep you separated from someone you know. But when we get to this new home, this new Jerusalem, there'll be no more separation. I can't tell you how many times I've followed church members and family members to the cemetery, and we planted a loved one, and that separation right now. But thank God, the place that we're going, there'll be no more separation. Amen. Hey, I've got loved ones and friends, and I miss them much tonight. But thank God, one day we'll be reunited, and there'll be no more separation. Amen. Hey, no more sea. Hey, he said in verse 4, no more suffering. For the Bible said, in God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, I'm glad of that. I don't know about you, but I've wept my way through many a night. I'm brokenhearted, I'm disappointed, I'm battle-wearied and wounded. But thank God, there is coming a day when we get to this place, have the new Jerusalem, have that tears will be wiped away by the Lord himself. And thank God, there'll be no more hardship. Oh, I don't know about you, but my heart breaks often. Not just for myself, but for others. It's before service, someone said, I wept over some folk. And boy, that's good. I'll tell you, that's good. But thank God, one day, I will never weep again. Amen. Oh, freeing them no more as I like them. Amen. I tell you something else we find out in this great chapter. There's going to be no more sunsets. Verse number 25 of this chapter says this, and the gate shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now, my mind has a hard time grabbing that because we've never experienced it. But according to this scripture, it's going to be so. Thank God we're going to have an eternal day with the Lord. I like what one of the old time preachers said about Enoch years ago. They made the statement about him walking with God. And one day God said, we're closer to my home than you are. Yours, just come spend the day with me.
In His presence, there's no night. There's just eternity. Amen. I'm glad that is the place that we that are saved are going tonight. Hey, you understand this? We can fellowship, and I love it, but there's a stopping time. There always will be. But thank God when we get there, it won't stop. Time won't have any more control upon us. I like that myself, amen. There's no more sunset. Let me say this, there's no more sin. I can shout on that, on the amen, whether I feel it or not. I'm glad of that. The Bible said in verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all ours have their part in the lake, which burneth fire and brimstone, which is second death. And verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad I'm headed to a place that there is no sin. Amen. Hey, sin brought the curse. This earth's cursed tonight, whether you know it or not. In all of its beauty, in the spring with its flower, and the fall with the turning of the leaf, the beauty, but yet it's under a curse. Boy, can you imagine going to a place where there is no sin? I don't know about you, but I know me, and I fail God and I sin. I come short of His glory. But one day's a-coming. Amen. When we finally get out of this old robe of flesh, get in a glorified body, I fashioned unto His glorious body, we're going to a place there'll be no sin. You won't be tempted to sin. You won't sin. It just won't be there. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I can be enjoying something, be out in the public somewhere, be enjoying something well, and then all of a sudden you find the presence of sin and you get where you just don't enjoy what you're doing no more. But thank God, can you imagine walking down through a city that we read here in this chapter and there's no sin there? You know, without sin there'll be no fear. Did you hear what I just said? When there's no sin there'll be no fear. Do you know when fear entered this old world? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they hid themselves. Why? They was afraid. They knew what had happened. They knew they're separated from God. And there's a hiding because they was afraid. Hey, we'll never be afraid in that city. Amen. I've stayed in some places that I felt calm and relaxed and peaceful. And I've stayed some other places that I didn't sleep a whole lot. Why? Fear. Why is that? Sin. You say, don't you trust the Lord? Oh, yes, I do. It's everybody else I don't trust. Amen. Hey, this world's full of sin, but we're headed to the city where there is no more sin. Oh, then let me say this, and this ought to make a Presbyterian shout. There's no more Satan. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. Him and those fallen angels have given me a fit. Amen. They are my enemy. They don't like me, and it's mutual. I don't like them. Somebody said, you ought not feel. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no hope for them. They helped start all this mess. I'm glad they're going to be gone. Amen. Hey, I'm going to say something. I believe even, now, not everybody's got to worship like I do. They really don't. I'm just emotional, can't help it, just how I am. As long as you don't try to change me, I won't mess with you. How about that? Amen. But can I say this? I believe you're going to shout a little bit at that moment. When Satan is bound and cast in the lake of fire and he'll burn forever, I believe every child of God will rejoice and have the accuser of the brethren is put in his place. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, there's no devil in the place we're going to. Man, I'm glad of that. He won't have no rights because he ain't even going to get out of the place he's going. Amen. Hey, we find there are the missing things in this city. But let me say secondly, we find in this great chapter the measurements of this great city. We find there in verses 15 through 16, the Bible says, "And he that taught with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. And the length," hey, listen to this, "and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." What, hey, preacher, how big? Well, if you bring the furlong up to today, you're talking 1,500 miles in every direction. That's a pretty big place. Amen. I know that some of the more educated folk want to argue between the word mansion and a place. That is a big place. Amen. I've never been in anything real big most of my life. Matter of fact, I spent several years living in a fifth wheel that's 39 foot long. Anybody else gets in there than your family, you know it. Amen. I've never had a very big, the place I got now is very comfortable. It's exactly what, don't need nothing bigger. It's ideal. But can I say I'm here to play 1,500 miles in every direction you look. That's big. Amen. I got dwelling on that great. I mean, it's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, and that's where we're headed. I got a feeling there's going to be a big number there. What do you think? Somebody's worried, well, the world's out there. Well, I'm going to tell you this, that's pretty good size if it's just a handful going to heaven. But I want to tell you, it ain't a handful going. And I'll even go further than that. We ain't the only congregation going. Amen. Hey, everybody that's been saved by the good grace of God in this church dispensation, we'll live in this new Jerusalem. Amen. You may be shocked some are there, and they're probably going to be shocked you're there. Amen. But it's a big place. Hey, I like 1,500 miles. Now, let me say number three, and I'm just giving you something in Scripture. I pray you could get excited about going to this new place, this holy city, like you used to. Man, wouldn't it be good if a song about heaven stirred us again? Wouldn't it be good if somebody testified about wanting to go to home, be with the Lord? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I'd just bless us all again? I'm telling you, the reason is we got too many gadgets and too much of everything this world's got. Amen. Some are afraid they're going to have to leave it all behind, and you are. Amen. Every dollar you're squeezing the blood out of, you're leaving it all. Amen. All them nice electronic gadgets. I like that. I'm glad they ain't going to the city. Amen. I am. I'm glad there's a lot of stuff, but I'm going there. Amen. Hey, and we ought to be excited about home tonight. Amen. Hey, it's amazing. I get excited reading this, and I ain't never been there. All I've ever got's the blueprint. I've never even got a picture, Brother Bill. God's never sent me a picture. He said, "I'll just give you the layout. I'll give you a blueprint. Just read it over." And that's where you're headed. Amen. It would do you good, by the way. This book of the Revelation, it said you're blessed if you just read it. There in chapter 1, go back home and look at that. Hey, it blesses me reading this. I mean, it really does. It excites me. I can't help it. Amen. And don't want to help it. I'm telling you, this world's, it's a tough place, but thank God we have a better place, we that are saved. I see, thirdly, the materials. I want to look at some things. We see that he describes about the wall of this city in verse 18. He said in the building of the wall, it was of jasper. Now, for us in our modern day, we don't think much about walls, but Babel days it meant a lot because they didn't have all the equipment and the warfare weaponry that we have. So them walls of a great importance. So we see there's a wall, and it's made of jasper. Now, as we go down through these things, look at all this material that helps build this city, can I tell you something? We're going to live in a place that they're fighting and killing themselves trying to get down here. You think about that. A wall of jasper. Then we see not only the wall, but the foundation. Now look at this a minute. I'm not going to read it all, but verse 19, 20, we see that the foundation, there's 12 different jewels, precious stones that make up this foundation. Now, I want to tell you something. I visit through jewelry shops with my wife from once in a while. We don't do that much. I went through one years ago, bought an engagement ring and a wedding ring, and a few years later bought another one to kind of keep up, you know. But you know something? We're heading to a place that's in a jewelry store going to pale in comparison. Can you imagine? I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time grasping it, but I believe it. I mean, a 12-level foundation, all colors. There's red colors, and there's the other side, white, and there's other stones that are mentioned here. I mean, just a fascinating place. Hey, what they're worried about somebody stealing, we're going to have it for the foundation. Amen. Hey, not only that, listen to this, there's gates there. In verse number 21, it said, in the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate of one pearl. Hey, I'll tell you, that's a big pearl. Amen. Hey, you think about the price in our world for a small little pearl. These are gates. Gates of pearls. Amen. Boy, that's a fascinating thought to me. If you ever get to look it up online, you ought to find the message by Ralph Sexton Sr. He's been in heaven several years now, too. He has a message he preached here on why heaven's gates are made of pearl. And I do not suggest listening to it riding down the road. The law will get you. Amen. Listen to it in your house because you're going to get tore up. I mean, say about midway through, they go into orbit while he's preaching. And boy, just a thing, a place that the gates are made of pearl. They're pure, they're pearls herself. May I word it better that way. The gates are pearl. Amen. Hey, listen to this. Then the street, it said in the street, verse 21, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, there's several things I want to say about this street just a moment. First of all, it does have it in the singular form. And am I right? It's a definite article. Am I right about that? Somebody help me. I was trying to think about that fresh today. That's right. So there's one street. Everybody's going to get to live on Main Street. It's the only one in the city. Amen. You think about it. And it's not paved with gold. That ain't what the Bible said. It ain't paved. But it's made of pure gold. What about that? And you think about that. And son, they are killing themselves for gold. And you're going to walk on it. Now, they tell you the more pure gold gets, the softer it gets. Now, this looks like glass that's got so purified. There's no impurities in it. Amen. And the street, look at it again, and the street of the city was pure gold. Man, I'm telling you, we're headed somewhere. You talk about moving on up, buddy, you moving up. Amen. Hey, we got something to look forward to. But then let me say this. We have seen the missing things, and we've seen the measurements, and we've seen the material. But I want to look at the main attraction of this place. It's not the pearls, it's not the street, it's not the foundation, though it's going to be something for the eye to behold. But the main attraction of this place is Jesus himself. Amen. Now, folk, I'm going to say something. I have never seen him with my natural eye, and I don't believe you have either. So don't even come tell me about your dream or what your vision was. You ain't seen him, and I've not seen him. That's right. By the way, that's one reason they are no more apostles. They had to see the resurrected Christ. That was one of the criteria. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, one day, amen, you just think I get stirred up. Some of you had to get used to me. You have. I know you have. You're doing better now. I don't scare you as bad. Matter of fact, I catch you doing this now. Amen. You found out it ain't too bad. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, I believe we'll probably first fall at his feet. I do. I believe before we do anything, we'll probably just fall down before him. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be an exciting trip. I promise you that. We'll see him that we have never laid our eyes on, but we've known him by heart. I, I tell you what amazes me in all the scripture I read, you never read in the Bible where they have to point him out. You ever notice that? You ever thought about it? Ain't nobody going to say, all right, as you come in, there's Jesus, that one in the middle up there. You never read that. Amen. Because you know him. Amen. If you know, you just know him when you see him, don't you? But ain't it amazing, through the eye of faith, we've seen him in the Word of God, and we're going to see him. And Brother Job said, man, the worms one day may eat up this flesh, but with my eyes I'll see him and not another. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you to get our first look at Jesus Christ. Do you notice in this chapter he is referred to in two ways? Number one, he's mentioned as the Lamb. That's right. In verse 23, we find he's mentioned as a lamb. Verse 22, verse 27, he is described as a lamb. Even back up in verse 9, we find he's the lamb. Why is that? Because we're going to behold the one who bled and died and rose again, that you and I could step foot inside that city. I thought about this today. This is one aspect I've not thought about in quite some time. But can you, now, John said in 1 John, and Brother Mark read it the other night, talk about what we've heard and what we've seen, and our hands have handled. Now, we ain't never got to touch him. But can you imagine? And I'll tell you something, there ain't going to be no doubt in my mind of us getting to do this. I mean this, to lay our hands upon him, just to, and by the way, he still has those wounds. You do understand, not scars. He don't have scars. You got to have, hey, blood's got to dry up to get scars. There ain't no blood left in him. It's on the mercy seat. But there are wounds. Still, you're going to walk and you're going to be able to see those hands that were nailed to a cross. You're going to see a ribbon side that a Roman soldier's spear pierced through, and out come water and blood. Amen. Hey, we're going to see him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hey, that's the only reason we're going is the Lamb. Amen. Hey, and by the way, in Exodus chapter 12, that first Passover, there was a need of a lamb, and talked about the lamb, but it said your lamb. Man, he has got to be your lamb if you're going to make heaven your home. Amen. So we're going to see him. But then here's something unusual. But John talked about it in the Gospel of John chapter 1. But in our text in Revelation 21, at verse 23 through about verse 25, and the city, now listen to this, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. Listen to this. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. He's the light. Not an S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Now, I held this back. I just want to remind you something. I gave you all those materials this city's made out of, didn't I? All those jewels that make up that foundation. Somebody said, I've heard a song about, I want to stand where I can see him. Talk about on that day. I got good news. I got great news. You won't have to worry about not seeing him. Because he's light. What does light do in jewels? What would it do in a diamond? It reflects. So you know everywhere you look, you're going to have a first class seat seeing him. Amen. You think about that. Ladies, next time you're cleaning that ring, you just think about the city we're going to. And that light reflecting off that little light in your bathroom, your bedroom. Imagine the light. Jesus, he's reflecting everywhere. Hey, you know something? I'm going to say this and I'm done. I know, so to a lot of folk in our day, this is so trivial, this is so simple, but oh, man, the longer you're saved, the more real this gets to you. The more you long for it. I'm telling you, this world's not getting better. It's never going to get better. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, the church is not in the world to make it better, but it's the church is in the world to point folk to Christ. Amen. But we're headed to this new Jerusalem. I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled. I am. I'm looking forward to being in that place, seeing him above. And I mean that he is the main attraction. I'm not gonna put a crown on and robe and strut around heaven. No, sir, no, ma'am. But I'm going to be able to see him. And we're going to know one another. We'll know our loved ones. And I believe we'll be glad to say hello to them. There's some I'm looking real forward to hear the voice. I really am. They pointed me to Christ. They're the ones encouraged me along this journey. But all the main attraction, see him that took your sin, took my sin, took everybody's sin, and nailed it to his cross. Somebody mentioned to me earlier this evening about Barabbas, and how he set free because of Christ. That was going to be Barabbas' cross. And we think of it, that's Barabbas'. But when you read Scripture, it don't talk like that. He made it his cross. That's how much he loved you, and he loved me, and that's how much it costs for our sin debt to be paid. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I'm thankful for the Lamb of God tonight. Child of God, don't worry, don't fret. Lift your head up. Hey, I know this world's got a lot of heartache in it, but we're passing through. Don't get your tent pegs too deep. We might pull out before morning. Wouldn't that be good? I mean this, it'd thrill me to get to leave from church. It would thrill me to death to leave out of here together. Trumpet sound, we call up, gone out of here. I will say this, and this is just food for thought. That's all it is right here. Them planes, them jets amaze me, them fighter jets, man, they get with it. They can break that sound barrier, that big boom, and it shakes everything around. That's impressive to me. It thrills. It does. If you're unaware of it, it'll scare the devil out of you. But, I mean, it is an boom. If a jet plane doing that can make that kind of racket, what kind of noise might we make being changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Go home and think on that in a little while. You talk about moving. Somebody said, heard someone years ago say, I don't really like that old song y'all do around the Baptist church, I'll fly away. Well, what do you call moving and being changed the moment twinkle of an eye? That's flying to me. Amen. Hey, we're somebody, as a choir sung today, we're somebody going somewhere. Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God tonight? Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. Thank you for the blessed hope. Thank you, Lord, tonight that we that are saved are headed to this place we've read about and preached about tonight. Lord, we know it's a reality. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of the imagination. But I'm glad there's a holy and beautiful city, the New Jerusalem. Help, Lord, tonight in this invitation. We'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart this afternoon. A reminder of where you and I that are saved are heading. But there could be someone here tonight, and without a doubt, I believe there's somebody here tonight. You're not going with us. You're going to be a part of what's missing because you've not been saved by the grace of God. Only the redeemed are headed to the New Jerusalem. I'm glad my name's in his book. I'm glad, thank God, one of these days, face to face with the Lord, in a glorified body down here, even tonight, I've had some limits with my voice tonight and had to go so far and kind of back off, but thank God one day, vocal cords that can tell it, and a vocabulary to tell it of how much he means to me. Let's stand tonight. If you're here lost tonight, we'd love to take the Word of God, show you how to be saved. Be the greatest day of your life. We want you to go to heaven with us. But the only way you can is you must be born again. You say, preacher, folk excited, we're shouting tonight. And they know where they're heading.
They're excited about where they're going. It sure beats this old world. Our president's got a lot of money. Our president-elect owns a lot of places. But I want to tell you something. I'm so rich I don't even know what I'm worth. And you are too. My Father. That's good to say that. I'm going to say it again. My Father owns it all. Amen. You're not second rate. You're not kicked off to the side. A child of God is royalty. We're a part of that family, the great family of God tonight. This altar's open. If you need to come, you come tonight. If you're not saved, I beg you to come in Jesus' name. I have to tell you, my heart, I long to see you get right. Been praying for some of you a while. Going to keep on praying till you get in or we get out, one or the other. Maybe you're saved. Boy, maybe you've got a burden for somebody that's lost. I'd come pray for them again. Maybe you're carrying some other load. Maybe you've kind of even got to the place today you've been feeling sorry for yourself. Things ain't going just exactly like you've been planning, but hey, this world's not your home. We're passing through. We're headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. You come tonight.
Oh, in the face of my Savior, but serving Him has been a thrill.
You got that right.
And I've never
anybody else you need to come.
On that day be reality.